up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Benison. Thanks for your company. Today, we go back into the past. We're going to hear an item now from the convention of 2015. This is from a previous New Horizons episode. This convention was held in Western Australia and featured Jenny Dawson. Jenny comes from Perth and talks to us today about parenting.
Now, some will say that they broke the mould when they made me.
Absolutely.
Yes, I knew I'd get a bite from somewhere. And they certainly did, because in the 80s, I was a little bit different to most women. I never wanted to be a career girl. I did, however, want to be a mum. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mum. I wanted to raise a family, and I had the opportunity to do that. And fortunately, because my husband was able to keep me in the style that I became accustomed, I was able to stay at home and raise two gorgeous boys who are now adults. Trevor helped in that somewhat, but I was the main caregiver, so I'm here doing the talk today, and he's not a woman, so, you know, he must know his place, right, girls? Now, when you have two parents who are blind, and Trevor and I are both totally blind, there are certainly several challenges in raising children. And do you know what the most significant one I actually believe is? Not being able to drive. And when you've got kids and you need to be chauffeuring them around to all the sorts of things that they like to get involved in the community, then not being able to drive is actually like having a disability all on its own. So we had to do a lot of thinking initially before we decided to have children to, you know, we had a good hard think to see if we could, felt that we could actually do it and do it well. And we decided that we could. Now, when the children were babies, and I'm not going to talk about practical solutions so much today as the fundamentals of parenting, I think, particularly when you're blind. When the kids were little babies, it was actually, in some respects, quite a lot easier. It got more difficult when they got to be on the move, and oh boy, can a crawling baby move fast. So one of the things that I deployed was to put a bell on their shoulders. And I'll tell you a little story as we move on about number two son. But when they were tiny babies, really you just had to make sure that you were organised, you had everything that you needed for nappy changing and bathing and everything at your fingertips, and you could be a successful mother. However, the first hurdle that I had that really shook me to my core back then, because I was going to do everything for my child, was that our firstborn, Scott, had congenital cataracts and had them both removed by the time that he was 4 months of age. And you know the thing that got me? I couldn't do his eye drops. And that really did shake me to my core. It wouldn't these days, because I've got nothing to prove to myself or anyone else, but back then I sure did. So we had to figure out how we were going to tackle that, and we had a visiting nurse come to do it. So that was the first real anxiety I had, even more than when he was diagnosed, because there's all these people fluffing around us, offering cups of tea and, you know, and, oh, isn't it tragic, your child has got this problem, and I'm sitting there going, well, come on, can we get on with it and solve it? Because disability to us meant it had no fear. So the next stage of childbearing, or child rearing, I should say, the bearing had been done, was when they were toddlers, and of course they like to explore. So what you need to balance as toddlers, and one of the lessons that I had to learn, was being able to give them enough freedom and not stilting them and learning to trust them. And sometimes we don't trust our children enough. And our kids learnt fairly quickly, and it was fairly instinctual that they would know when they could take extra freedom. So they knew when there was a decent pair of eyes around that could keep an eye on them. And they knew when they were with us that they couldn't stray as far. Mind you, number two son did try that occasionally. So again, it was instilling in them those things. Now, when one of the strategies that I employed to sort of become known in the community and to start to create a network of other parents, because you really do need that bit of support from the community to ensure that your kids lead a life just like every other child in the community. And one of those, the best strategies I think to this day that I decided I needed to do was actually to get involved in the playgroup movement. And by doing that, other parents got to know me, particularly mums, because dads should have been out working, in my opinion. And when it came to needing to get to, you know, playgroup picnics, when it came to the kids going off to preschool and I needed lifts for them to get there, that all then happened. So that held us in good stead. And then we moved on to the school years. And one of the things that someone said to me when our kids were very young, and I have never forgotten, and I would give this advice to any of you, who want to have children, they must feel special because of you and not disadvantaged because of you as a person who is blind. And I never forgot that. So when it came to the kids going to school, I actually went with my guide dog and I learnt how to navigate that school. And the reason I did that, because I never wanted to feel that my kids had to come to the front gate to meet me, that they had to escort me to assembly, because the other kids in the playground didn't do that. I needed to be able to come and go just like any other parent. Driving was out of the question, but, you know, can't do everything. And I did that. And, of course, the notoriety that the kids got, and this is where guide dogs can come in very handy, I was the only parent who was allowed to bring the dog to school. And on assembly days, she would march up where we had assembly, take me to where I sat. Didn't matter if anyone was sitting there. That was our seat. And you know what? They always moved. I'm not sure, though, whether they moved for me or actually Jess, the dog. Probably the dog. Can you imagine, actually, if you've got... You know what it's like when you've got a guide dog, you don't get a look in with other people? Well, when you've got a baby and a guide dog, you really don't get a look in anywhere. So the other major thing about child rearing, I think, is in some circumstances, you need to shift the responsibility onto them for certain things. Now, this is a pretty fine line that you have to tread. But what I mean about that is, if our kids didn't do their homework, sure, they could lie to us and tell us that they did it, and we couldn't check. But who fronted the teacher the next day? It wasn't me, and I didn't know. If they went to school in something that wasn't their uniform, didn't bother me. I didn't know because I couldn't see it, but they copped it at school. So by shifting that responsibility a little bit, and there were other things as well, I think it actually did the world of good. And today they have such fantastic life skills. And yes, they used to do little things for us. But again, you have to be mindful of how much you ask them to do for you. And we always allowed them to express their frustrations at us being blind, because we had them too, and we always had an open policy about that. And you know the frustration that happened more than anything else? Oh, God, Mum, I wish you could drive. And I used to go, oh, and so do I. So our kids have grown up. The oldest is 27 now and an auto electrician. He was the one who had the cataracts. and he has far exceeded our expectations of what he can see, and he drives and he's an auto electrician. The youngest one, who always pushed the boundaries, he is now a pilot in the Air Force. And he flies Hercules out of Richmond in Sydney. Not bad for a couple of blindies, eh, to produce a poem. And he's been asked often along the way, have you had your eyes checked? And we used to call him Eagle Eyes. Now, my time's probably just about up, but I'll just tell you a very quick little story. This child was his name is Christopher, and he was my challenge. When he was 2 years of age, he actually climbed the fence and got out. And I'm out the front thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to find this kid? And it was probably only about 5 minutes. And then my neighbour walks across the road to me and he says, do you know, I don't believe this kid. And I'm calling and calling. He's standing over there and he's watching you and he's holding on to his bells.
Jenny Dawson from Western Australia. And Jenny's presentation came from the convention of 2015 in Perth. For members of Blind Citizens Australia in Tasmania, there is a new branch of Blind Citizens Australia about to be launched on Saturday the 19th of May. You can come along to the library in Launceston and you can be a part of the first meeting of the new branch of Blind Citizens Australia in Tasmania. At that meeting, a committee will be appointed or elected, depending on how many people are interested in being on the committee. Now, if you'd like to know more about being on that committee or you're interested in coming to the meeting, then you'll need to let Jan know. Her number is 0438012552. That number again is 0438012552. To be on the committee, you'll need to provide a biography of around about 100 words, and that should outline why you think you would be an asset to the Committee of Blind Citizens Tasmania. Now, we're looking for people from all over Tasmania, not just in the north or the south, and if you can't make it to the launch in Launceston, then your committee application will be read aloud just to enable those who are at the meeting to make a decision on who is the right person to represent them on the branch committee. Similarly, if you're not able to make the Launceston meeting, there will be a meeting held in Hobart in the coming weeks so that the second half of the election can be held. So the system will be that people in the north will have their chance to vote, and then the people in the south will have their chance to vote, and the tallies will be added together to decide who is going to be on the 7-member committee. Now, of course, if we only get 7 members or fewer, there will be no need to have an election. So bear that in mind when you're considering whether to come to the meeting. If you'd like to know more details about the meeting, as I said, give Jan a call, 0438012552, 0438012552. If you'd like to give Blind Citizens Australia a call, you can call them on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. Interesting things happening with the phone system at the moment. More on that a little bit later. If you'd like to email them, you can do so. bca@bca.org.au is the email address, bca@bca.org.au. And of course, you can look for lots of information about blindness and specifically Blind Citizens Australia, and that can be found on the website at www.bca.org.au. Oh, and I did forget to mention that if you're not able to make the meeting in Launceston or Hobart, it will be streamed on the internet. So if you are a member of the BCAL email list or you're a member of the VIPL email list, you'll find out about that through the list. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to bring you this program this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.